let's look at Matthew 6. I gave you verse 33. It should have been 31 through 33. Susan, would you read verse 31 through 33? Oh, sorry, Susan, that's hard.
Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? After all those things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Okay. Up above in verse 19 through 21 and verse 24, Jesus is talking about materialism and laying up treasures in heaven. And he says, these verses we can all quote, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. And then starting in verse 24 is this passage that we've looked at a lot, where verse 27, he's talking about worrying. Verse 31, he's talking about worrying. And 28 I skipped. And up at the very beginning, verse 25. So four times Jesus says, do not worry. So what did y'all have that Jesus was cautioning against in 31 to
33? Actually, I got the answer in 34.
In 34?
Okay. Yeah, not worrying about tomorrow, and not seeking
the kingdom first. Yes.
Is that the one?
Yes. Okay. I also had, we need to know God. If we know God, this is going to help us with what we've been talking about. We get stressed out, and as we said, the Bible study goes, prayer goes, serving others goes. We talked in this class about pity parties. We've got too much going on. We're stressed out. So many things go. So if we know God, this will help us. We don't want to think like the world. We don't want to be materialistic. If we're materialistic, that's just more things to give us to worry about. Anything else on number 8?
The way I answered that is a little different, very similar to what I said, that what's he cautioning against in verse 31 and 32? He's cautioning against not seeking his kingdom first. Mm-hmm. If we can get our priorities right, that's the hard part for us. We have a lot of responsibilities, and we feel, and we do. But sometimes we take on responsibilities, but the responsibilities we feel that we have in the wrong priority. If you're too busy to stop whatever you're doing and go help someone, whether it be your brother or just your neighbor in need, we've got our priorities wrong. Sometimes there are things we cannot change. But there's very few times that we can't wait on what we're doing and go do something else that is really more important. But we don't look at it that way. Well, I've got my schedule set. I just can't do that. This is a fun thing I've planned for a long, long time. And then something else more important arises, a spiritual matter or someone in need of some sort of help. But that's not where our focus is. Our focus is, it gets back again, a lot of times, to our focus on me. It's what we say we want. We're Christians and we want to seek God's kingdom. But do we show that in our everyday life and decisions we make?
I didn't say all that. But I did say not seeking God's kingdom.
I said
that was real close to what you said. I just had a little one to add, sorry.
Okay, turn to Mark 4. I want to add, and a lot of this we're talking about materialism, and I wanted to be sure and say that wasn't Martha's problem that we know of. It wasn't materialism, but she still she was focusing on the wrong things. And so for us, it could be materialism, or it could be just like Martha. I just wanted to be sure and say that I wasn't saying that Martha was materialistic. Melissa, would you read verse 7 and 18 and 19?
Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
So this is the parable of the sower. And there are three main obstacles here that I see to spiritual fruitlessness. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things. Doug and I were talking last night about deceitfulness of riches, because I was reading this and I had some questions in my mind. But one thing we talked about, people that desire to be rich, the deceitfulness of it is to them it gives them power, or they think it does. It gives them a false sense of security. If somebody is rich, not every person, I know that, but they think they can do anything. They think they can go anywhere they want. They can have anything they want. They can do anything they want. One thing Doug mentioned was moral immunity. If you're, I guess, super rich, I don't know what to call it, it can affect your morals. What did y'all have? What is the result? This attitude. Was that clear of being materialistic?
Not being choked out. But this attitude, because it is choked out, it shows the faith in the Word of God to produce good fruit. You know, to yield fruit in our lives. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's what the good in Ion's heart yields good fruit. And if we're so busy with those things, we're not going to allow spiritual growth. We're not going to allow it to produce the good fruit that God wants us to have in our lives. That's how we serve in His kingdom.
Mm-hmm. One thing I was thinking about that goes along with materialistic, a lot of times, let's say it's the husband. If you have a materialistic attitude, you're going to spend a lot of time away from the family. That means a lot of time away from your wife, a lot of time away from your children. If you're materialistic, that's what your focus is going to be, and that's physically, that's what you're going to be working on. Do y'all remember Demas? Look at Colossians 4:14. There's two verses, and we see that Demas was working with Luke. Verse 14 says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Look at Philemon 24. Nadine, would you read that? Philemon 24.
What chapter? Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
Did I say Philemon?
No.
Yes, Philemon, sorry. 24.
And be Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers, and great before our Jesus Christ, be with you too.
So we've seen both these verses. Demas is with Luke, working, being a servant, working on spreading the gospel. So look at 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. So here's someone that we would probably think of as someone we might even look up to, someone that was a great servant in the kingdom. And he let worldly pleasures and comfort take over. It's possible that he could not endure the hardships of ministry. I'm just getting that from the verse. So this can happen to anybody. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Susan Hendricks, would you read 9 and 10?
But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into evil and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by long suffering, have wandered away from the truth and pierced themselves with many a pang.
Okay. So, if someone has a love for money, do you think that's going to, you think that person's going to have some worries? Yes. It's going to take a lot of their time. And their focus is not going to be on the right things that we've been talking about. And one more verse. I love this verse. Look at Hebrews 12. This is after the passage of Hebrews 11. All the people of faith. Amy, would you read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2?
Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay. So when the writer says lay aside every weight, I studied this one time, and weight is anything that hinders us, anything that can be an encumbrance. And that's, I think that's the same word that we've been talking about. We've got all these examples of people of faith, and so we want to, that can be a great example to us. So in verse 2, we want to look to Jesus. He went to the cross. He despised the shame. And then sat down on the right throne of God. So anything that is hindering us, we need to let it go. So that we can look to Jesus and focus on that. Yes.
I like the way the New American Standard says that. It says fixing your eyes on Jesus.
Fixing your eyes. If we've got, if we're like Martha and we've got too much going on, we can't fix our eyes on Jesus. Anybody else? Okay, on number 10, did y'all find that? What I did, I interpreted it for you. And then I put the interpretation on there. Turn to Matthew 6 again. Matthew Amanda, would you read verse 27?
And who of you, by any worry, can add a single hour to his life?
Okay. I reworded the question on mine. So explain Matthew 6:27. Were y'all able to figure something out?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
It is.
The New King James says, who can add one cubit to his life or an inch to his height? There are things you can't change. You have no control over some things. And so worrying accomplishes nothing.
And, like I mentioned earlier, what was I worrying about 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago? If it's something important, we can probably remember. But there's many things we worry about that are not what we would classify as important. And we probably can't even remember. And how much sleep did we lose? And how much did it cost us in the way of service? What did it cost us in... I'm feeling sorry for myself, so I can't go see this person that maybe I need to go visit. As Lauren said, after we spend all this time worrying, where are we then? We're right back where we started. And who will it help? Is it going to help us any? No.
It sure isn't going to help the person who might need you.
Right.
If you're too busy and distracted and worried to reach out or to help when someone else has a need.
Yes. And oftentimes that's the case. And that, you know, that brings us back to Martha. We don't see that she had a problem with materialism, but she had a lot going on. She couldn't focus on Jesus. She wanted to interrupt Mary from listening to Jesus. She interrupted Jesus. All the things we said, that didn't help anybody.
We didn't dismiss this, but I wonder if she might have been jealous that it was Martha's house. I don't think Mary lived there. It doesn't say if she did. She may have. I don't know, but... maybe she was jealous that Mary was getting to sit there, and she felt like she couldn't because she had responsibilities, so maybe that entered in too.
You know, our next lesson is also going to be on Mary, because she was focusing on the right things. And that's a good thought, because sometimes we see somebody that we think has everything going in the right direction. We think they're doing everything right. And I wonder, like you're saying, did we get jealous of that? So that's a good thought. Okay, let's do question 11. Turn to Proverbs 12. Verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So, number 11. What does worry do to our health? Does anybody happen to list anything? It can cause physical problems. Did y'all list anything, or what did y'all have?
I would just say nothing good.
I listed a couple of things. It can cause fatigue if you're worrying all the time, if you've got too much going on. You sit there and you focus on it, and it just makes you so tired. It causes high blood pressure, stomach ulcers, and mental. It can cause, these are more serious, mental disorders and much, much more. And extreme cases with maybe people in the world, it can cause suicide. They don't know God, they don't have God, and they wind up just ending their life.
Either the guilt of not doing as much as they think they ought to be doing leads them to that. It doesn't even have to be sin. Now, David, the sin was really weighing on him, you know, and he goes out there in Psalms 32, and he said, my body was wasting away, you know, and I mean, he was so overwhelmed with
septic, you know. Mm-hmm. And but it learned better when the child was dying. He was praying, but when the child died, he said, you know, I can't go to him, but I mean, he can't, he come to me, but I can go to him. So he got up and got busy doing what he was supposed to be doing. So it is all the attitude towards, you know, whatever suffering is going through, or whatever the anxiety that might rise, you know, that, that we would embrace. But, you know, it, we can allow it to just absolutely make us ineffective.
Yeah. Just like Elijah, he was in a deep depression. He thought he was the only one in the whole world serving God. And God gave him some work to do. And eventually he got up and did it. Okay, we're going to stop there. And we'll finish this next week. I've got some more lessons to hand out.